2 minutes and 18 seconds after the hour of 11 in this, the month of March, in the year of our Lord, 2007. Thank you for coming by, making a part of your listening day, broadcasting from deep within the suck. This is the Rick Emerson radio program in the partially appointed yet not overly ostentatious studios of AM 970, Solid State Radio. Thank you for coming by. It is Thursday, and welcome to Day 12. We are here in beautiful downtown Portland, Oregon. 503-733-2970. You'd like to be... Hello. I just started taking out random syllables there, just mashing all the remaining words together into a paste.
Okay, crazy.
Why, hello there. If you'd like to be part of today's radio broadcast, it's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. I kind of do sound just a little bit like that Art Bell guy right now. That is east of the Rockies. My voice isn't low enough. But I kind of got that guy's mannerisms. I kind of got his affectations out of it. Call Rick Emerson, 503-733-2970. Just a little bit. You know, good that voice is Clyde.
Well, in any event.
If you'd like to call us today, it's 503-733-2970 with your comments, clarifications, your conventions, your 2 cents, your what have you. 503-733-2970. You can also email us. By God, it's rick@rickemerson.com. If you'd like to engage with us electronically in a binary fashion, a series of ones and zeros traveling through tubes all over the world, it's rick@rickemerson.com. That's what you can do, and don't believe any bastard who tells you otherwise. It's rick@rickemerson.com, and the phone number is 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. You just did a thing that's fantastic. That thing where you were halfway through a bag of snack food, and then your eyes narrowed, and you turned over.
I had one bite.
Quizzically looked at the calorie count on the back. I know what you're doing.
Because I looked at the calories before, and I thought they're pretty low.
Uh-huh.
And then I took a bite, and
they're
delicious.
Yeah.
No, they are.
Uh-huh.
How could calories be so low with something so delicious?
Because the bag is meant to serve like 8 people. That's what it is. The calories, 100 servings, 4. You know, there's no one.
I know how to read it. There are 4 servings.
How many servings? Is the serving size 1 bag?
It's 2 servings of 100, so 200 calories.
You're not going to have, I was going to say, because there will be no 2 servings. There will be one. Hey, by the way, I'd like to thank and curse the guy who came by and filled the vending machine yesterday, because it's now once again full.
He's at 3:07, you go bolting for it.
Times this week. It is now full of chocolate Chex Mix. 50%, and they're doing this thing in the front where it says 50% fat in huge letters. 50% less fat, and then at the bottom, than regular potato chips dipped in lard, whatever. They're 50% less fat, I suppose, than regular potato chips, but they're 500% more fat than a carrot stick or something.
How many calories in those?
In this bag? Let's see, serving size, 1 pack. Actually, not that many. Only, I say, lying to myself. I say, telling myself a fib. How many calories do you think are in this? And this is, there's not a lot of chocolate Chex Mix in here. I ought to call them
I
up
think
and be
340.
Paying them, but it's actually less than that, or fewer. It is 210, actually, which is not so terribly bad.
That's not bad at all.
I could eat 6 of these. I could eat 6 of these and still have 800 calories to spare for dinner. All right, there you go. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to eat 6 of those today.
I'm totally having Chinese food later, so that's why I'm eating really light right now.
Yeah.
I'm saving the calories.
Yeah. The great thing about Chinese food is it satisfies all of your bad food requirements at one. You sit down, you get all kinds of fat, you get your sodium, and then you get 9 years worth of monosodium glutamate all at once. It's 503-733-2970. You can also email if you like. It's rick@rickemerson.com. It is the Rick Emerson radio program. It is Thursday. Here's what's coming up today in our fine broadcast. We continue to talk about, here's how you know this Wild Hog Road dog pig movie is going to be bad. We don't even know what it's called. Is it Road Hogs?
I think it's Wild Hogs.
Why is it called Wild Hogs?
No, I keep getting confused because don't we have some advertiser that's something else that sounds like that?
It sounds like Wild Hogs?
Yeah, I thought we did.
What do they sell? What advertiser?
Wild Oats?
Oh, no, I'm thinking DK Wild.
DK Wild Hogs.
They don't sell hogs there.
No, they don't. No, they don't. Let's stop now. Client alert. Client alert. We need a siren that goes off in the studio whenever we start veering toward that. In any event, it's Roadhog, Wildhog, whatever it is. So I get the email inexplicably pours in about it. So we'll talk about that simply so we can affirm that it's something you never, ever, 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 ever need to see.
Whatever happened to Hog Whitman?
I don't know the answer to that. He called us about a month ago.
He did.
He called about a month ago, but he talked to us for like 35 seconds.
Maybe he'd be part of the contest for us. We could have win a date with Hog Whitman to Hog Wild, or Wild Hog.
See, that's what I'm saying. Nobody even knows what the movie is called. I don't want to get off into a whole thing about movies. It's not even Friday. I'm just going to say this, that all of my movie-going time, I'm behind with it because I didn't see The Last King of Scotland, which is that Forrest Whitaker film, and now it's going to be hard to rent because he's won the Academy Award for it, and I think it's gone. I think it's gone for the theaters here. And then I got to see Breach still with Chris Cooper, and then tomorrow Zodiac opens, which I am all over. And here's the thing, is giving yet more free advertising. Advertising that I really ought to be going there and like shaking something out of them for. Cinetopia. I don't care how long I have to stand in line. I don't care what I have to do. If Zodiac is playing at Cinetopia, that's where I'm going to be this weekend. So,
Breach the Secret Agent movie?
Sort of. I mean, it's not
I'm going to go see that.
It's not like a James Bond Secret Agent thing. It's more like a Good Shepherd Secret. It's the true story of a guy who was a double agent for the CIA all the way up until like 91.
Is that the Ryan Felipe movie?
Ryan Felipe? It's not Felipe. Hello, my name is Ryan Felipe. I have come to have sex with your daughter.
I thought it was Felipe.
Felipe.
I don't know.
If I was an actor, I would like my name to be Felipe.
Ryan Felipe. He's noted telenovela star Ryan Felipe.
I always thought it was Ryan Felipe.
That's what I thought it was, too.
I've come to seduce your children. He's in it. Laura Linney, who I love, is in it. Chris Cooper from American Beauty and from Adaptation is in it. So I got to see that, and then I got to see Zodiac this week in that digital... Because it's all shot on digital video. So I got to see it at that digital room at the Cinetopia, if I can. Anywho, later on today, we got the CNN radio correspondent, Rachel McGrath, whose name I will... And I don't even care about whatever she's talking about. Did you give me the CNN thing back? Because I don't even...
No,
probably on hold right now.
I don't even know. I have no idea what she said. It's some crap having to do with the child credit and...
Well, hopefully. I left her a message. I couldn't get a hold of CNN today.
All right. Well, whatever. I'm having her on just to prove that I'm not going to mangle her name again. We'll talk
that's
to...
That's the only reason.
That's it. Don't tell her
you
that.
You can go now.
Don't tell her. You introduce her correctly and then get out like when I met Aaron Sorkin. Just meet him and it's done. Done and run so that I can't F it up. We'll talk to CNN radio correspondent Lisa Goddard about whether she knows it or not about John McCain announcing for president on Letterman, right? Was it on Letterman?
Yes, Letterman.
He announced for president again, which I thought he'd already done. Apparently he's going to be doing it again. Apparently he's going to be making yet another announcement in April. So, well, in any event, so we'll talk to Lisa Goddard about that. We got a great Star Wars question. It's not the typical kind of Star Wars question, which is like, you know, like what was the access code number for the cell where Luke and Leia were being held in Episode 4 or whatever the hell? It's actually it's a question from a guy who's a Star Wars fan about relating to a girl. About dating a girl who's not a Star Wars fan. It's actually kind of an interesting question. And I'm not bringing it up now because it'll sidetrack us. But it is something that the audience will be able to help us out on. What else? Oh, we have... Right here. We have the best story ever. We have the best story you've ever heard. Ever, ever, ever. And I'm going to give you the headline because the headline's not even the best part of it. I'm going to give you the headline just because the headline is... I'm not blowing everything by giving you this one sentence. It just starts out with this. Lonely man brought donkey to hotel room, court told. Now, here's the thing. Of the 30 or so sentences that form this article, that's like 25th in terms of funny. The rest of the article is so much better than this headline.
Laugh out loud with that.
Lonely man brought donkey to hotel room, court told. It's so great.
Why do they have to preface it with lonely? That's what makes it funny.
It does seem like it's implied. It doesn't seem like it's really well-adjusted and popular man. Ladies
was
man.
Was it a lonely man or a lonely donkey?
Well, I don't think they were either of those after a little while. So we'll get to that. We got to, let's see what else. There's some Britney stuff and so forth. Anyway, so there you go. So there's that. We got to get to that show demo, the ovary grabber.
Okay, you need to stop saying that.
No, it's her friend. Whatever the hell that woman who sent me
a product from Ronco?
That woman who sent me the ovary grabber.
Get a free pocket fisherman with every order.
Are you tired of not being able to reach your rubbery? It's 503-733-2970. No, we got a terrible... you know, I'm going to say this, and then I'm going to find out it's owned by CBS. I'm going to say this, and I'm going to find out that the show is owned and syndicated by this company. Anyway, so I got this unsolicited email yesterday, as I often do, for some radio program that wanted me to carry. And who knows? Maybe we'll listen to it, and it'll be genius. But it's from a woman who, I swear to God, her tagline is, "Grab life by the ovary."
I wish you'd stop saying that.
Why? Does it actually...
It makes me cringe.
Does it make you... Where does it make you cringe? Does it make you cringe in the ovaries?
It makes me want to protect my ovaries every time.
That's going to be our tagline. The Rick Emerson Show. It makes you want to protect your ovaries. Okay, it's 503-733-2970. We're joined today by the ovary-protecting Sarah X. Dillon.
Okay.
How you doing? You're looking good today. You got kind of a 60s, not 60s, but like a 60s British thing going on today.
With the turtleneck and whatnot?
Almost, like I could sort of see you being like on a ski slope or something in like a 1975 Peter Sellers film. I could kind of see that.
Okay.
Sort of a stripy sort of a thing.
No, I'm good. I couldn't, Muppet was just being an ass this morning, and I woke up really early and couldn't fall back asleep.
Was he doing that thing where he jumps up off and onto the bed? Not that I have any knowledge of what goes on in Sarah's bedroom at night, but my dog does this where he'll sleep at the foot of the bed, and then at about 6 a.m., he'll just decide to start jumping onto the bed, off of the bed, onto the bed, off of the bed. And finally, he's like, yeah, fine, I'll get up.
And he doesn't care if it's bed or if it's just walking on your stomach while you're sleeping.
Right under the thorax.
Yeah, I wake up sometimes, he's like, sleeping on, like, above my head on my pillows.
It's like a dog hat.
Yeah.
It absolutely happens where, and Mac, because that's just his passive-aggressive way. It's not even passive-aggressive, it's just aggressive. His way of deciding that I have slept long enough and it is time for him to be fed. And so he's just, I'm not trying to go on and on about a dog, but because kids do the same thing, I would imagine. But they just decide.
You can't stick your dog or your kid in a kennel.
Can't you?
I don't know. Might get arrested.
You just gotta be careful what part of town you're in. Anyway, Tim Riley is working on the following stories for your edification today. Paris Hilton is barred from the Associated Press. They're sick and tired of hearing about her. Editor Nicole Smith will get a trendy Hollywood type funeral. A milk truck spilled paralyzes the Banfield Freeway.
Fantastic.
And although I personally don't care, but I know a lot of people do, the president and general manager of the Blazers quit suddenly.
Really?
Yeah.
Hmm.
Excellent. Oh, somebody has clarified this, that when I was talking about, when you were thinking of D.K. Wilds and Boss Hogs. And you were conflating the two. You know, I don't really know what the word conflating means. I'm saying that right now, but I'm not really sure what it means.
I've never heard it.
I think
it sounds fun.
I think it's a made-up word, but people use it as though, I think it's like combining two things. But
like vitaminology.
I realize, it's me divided Benjamin. I realize now that I don't know. Scott Daly has emailed me to say that he will have a review of Zodiac tomorrow because he and Aaron saw it last night. Bastards, why don't you invite me to these things?
Oh, that is just mean.
Sons of bitches, I could have gone too. Oh, you bastards. Because Laura was working late last night, had his time free.
You always have time free.
Because I'm a loser. I have no life. I'm fundamentally lame. I could have gone. Fine. Not going to be bitter about it. Don't worry about it. It's 503-733-2970. Well, let's get this call, and then we'll... I got some other... Hello, Paul?
Hey, Rick.
How can I help you, sir?
Hey, you guys were talking about that Wild Hogs movie?
Yeah.
Yeah, the reason it's called Wild Hogs, that's the name of their, quote, gang.
Oh, God.
Oh, please. Really?
And just so you know, the demographic they're going for, all four of the actors are going to be on Oprah today.
Well, that doesn't make any sense. Oh, you know why?
You have to Tebow that, Rick.
It's too late.
You can do it on the internet.
Why? For what possible reason?
So we can take it, so you can give it to Tim, then he can take horrible sound bites from it, and we can play them for the people.
Yeah.
What time is Oprah on?
I like 4. My wife Tebows it.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I like I have to give the justification. We all know. It's okay. All right.
Hey,
so,
another thing, too, is they've been, like, hosting, like, you ever watch TLC where they have their car shows?
Yeah.
You know, American Chopper, all that other
stuff. Yeah, I've seen it occasionally, yeah.
Yeah, they've been hosting all that, too. So all the guys who think they're bikers or think they can build a streetcar or anything else are going to be flooding to the movie theater.
Yeah, no, that's the thing. And George Carlin has done really great riffs on this. But yeah, we all know those guys too. The guys, you know, it's like the guy, you know, he spends most of his time either working at a bank or on a golf course. But then on alternate Saturdays, he has his bike trucked somewhere, and then he rides around for a day as though he just came in off the road. Yeah. Yeah. All right. Yeah.
They're you haven't. They're definitely not 3 percenters.
No. Well, good reference, sir.
If you know what a 3 percenter is.
Well spotted, sir. Good reference. Thank you. Hunter Thompson would be proud. All right, there you go. Yeah, if you haven't done time for meth possession, at least, you're not a real biker. If you have all your teeth, if you don't reek of like old crankcase fluid in the end, your own urine, you're not a real biker. It's 503-733-297. If you haven't lived in a school bus as your primary residence at some point, you're really not a real biker. It's 503-733-2970. I got a few of these things to get to, and then we'll break in a few minutes, and we'll come back with Lisa Goddard. I simply have to make this request, though, before we go any further with today's program. I would like now to appeal to the Rick Emerson audience, and I would like everybody out there to quit sending me nude pictures of Daniel Radcliffe. Please now, I beg
you. Yeah, you're begging.
I beg of you. Please, no. And when I say I'm begging you to stop, I'm really not begging you to stop.
You're not the guy, you know, scalping the tickets out in front of the stadium and says he needs tickets.
No.
Okay.
I don't even know what you're talking about. I'm saying I want you to quit sending me nude pictures of the Harry Potter kid. Because, first of all, you know, okay, fine. There he is. Hey, I've seen Harry Potter nude. Okay, I can check it off. I mean, not that it was, like, on my list of things I had to do, but if it was on my list of things to do, okay, it's done. It's done. Stop sending them to me. Yes?
You're over talking about it.
I'm just saying. I don't know what I'm saying. All I'm saying is this. First of all, okay, fine. We all know that the Harry Potter guy is showing his penis somewhere in a play. As Sarah pointed out, that bit of news is about 3 weeks old. And that was a few weeks ago that it was like, hey, Harry Potter will be showing his wand on stage. Yeah, wow. And then everybody kind of laughed about it, and now we're done. Here's the other thing. And I hesitate to even say this, but shades of that guy from About a Boy last week or whenever it was you were talking about that, I'm not entirely sure that Daniel Radcliffe...
Yeah, I got so much crap for that, too.
Those weren't nude. I'm not entirely sure that the guy who plays Harry Potter is, in fact, 18 years of age. So what I would like to now do is to take this opportunity to ask you to quit sending me nude photographs of what may, in fact, be an underage boy. That's the sort of thing that I would like to not just have sitting in my inbox all alive. You know, if we're on the same wavelength, and I do believe we are. So why don't you just knock that off, huh?
Give it a rest. John Walsh arriving in the lobby any moment.
To catch him at Dale. Seriously, John Walsh is perfectly close. That kind of Scotty J kind of looks like him now that you mentioned it. John Walsh, the America's Most Wanted guy.
Mm-hmm.
I can kind of see that. Well, a little bit anyway.
Like he disappeared for about 20 years and all of a sudden came back.
The crows pecked at him. Him with his perfectly coiffed hair and his leather jacket. Yeah, so, and it does, and by the way, it seems to me that you probably don't want those things in your outgoing mailbox either. So, the next time some wiseacre at the office, look at Harry Potter nude, probably just delete that. That would be my recommendation to you, all right? And by the way, this also goes for our friend Clyde. Clyde Lewis is saying, now Clyde has a day job. Clyde has a day job during the week. With an impressive title that I think is probably made up, but that's okay.
He's a national admissions advisor.
Uh-huh. The people he talks to think that that's real anyway. And so he sends out these long emails. God love him. But Clyde, and I do love Clyde, and I can say these things because I've known Clyde for 12 years now. Clyde and I have worked together for the bulk of a decade plus. So I can say these things because I say them with love, that Clyde is a little crazy. And Clyde is sort of our resident conspiracy, nutcase, paranormal, ghost, spooky thing. Things that go whack in the night, they're kind of expert. Which is all well and good, except he has his day job now, this Monday through Friday job, where he's there and he's coaching young people on how to get their life in order and what college to choose and what sort of educational path to pick.
He's like a life coach.
He is exactly like a life coach. And when you spend any time with Clyde, you realize that that's exactly the person you want guiding your every personal decision, fiscal and otherwise. But he's been doing this thing lately where he sends out all of these newsletters, and it's about his kind of paranormal stuff, like, you know, like some talk about about the number 23, or, you know, talk about the ghost or the new Star Trek remake or whatever. Clyde's latest newsletter, though, is this long. It's long, like 19-page thing with embedded text and audio and pictures about how 9/11 was an inside job and the U.S. government blew up the World Trade Center. All of which is, you know, whatever. Freedom of speech. He can believe whatever he wants. He can suggest whatever he wants. All of which is fine, except that it's done in his company email, and it, like, at the end is like his SIG file. Like Clyde Lewis, National Admissions Coordinator, and like the name of his business. So that's a thing you may want to have. You may want to have a second and third thought about that. That's my only observation. We'll get a couple of these, and then we'll probably have to break. I won't have time to read this Obama thing. I swear to God, I almost just said Osama. What was that about? I almost just said Osama, though. I was just, like, the Fox News channel brainwashing almost had the desired effect. I almost said Black Osama. So Tim got this thing.
Do you still have that one?
The weekly radio address? I do.
Yes.
I have to, so we'll read this Barack Obama in his own words thing, which is fantastic. I was looking at this during the show prep, like right at the top, and Tim was like, you have to read this thing I got in the mail from Barack Obama. And
it was really mailed to you, Tim?
Yes. No, and I'm looking for it. I wonder if he wrote this himself. And it's like, a dear friend, I am running for president of the United States. And I realize now that every time, because of that whole kerfuffle about the 10 days ago, with whatever, with was it Joe Biden? Who was it that said that Barack Obama, I don't know, smelled good and could talk or whatever? Who was that guy that said that thing?
I think that was Biden.
Was it Joe Biden?
I think so.
Who was like, Barack seems to, he can, you know, he speaks so well, and he has all his teeth, or whatever that hideous pseudo compliment he said was. Yeah, he's a clean man. Thank you, Scotty. Yeah, he's clean and articulate. And I realize now that it's so difficult to make any sort of compliment about Barack Obama, because I'm looking through this little campaign literature that Tim got sent from the Barack Obama, from the Obama in 08 people, and I'm looking through it, and what did I immediately say to Sarah? I go, well, this is written really well, which I just mean that it is fantastic prose. The prose is written, it snaps, it pops, it has a certain, you know, has a certain alliterative quality that I like. But I realize now that all of those comments now come out as, and he washes. So I got to be careful with that. One more, and then we'll break. Dax, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello, sir.
Hello, this is Dax Jordan, not Dax Shepard.
Dax Shepard is the masturbatory character in Idiocracy. Yes.
In the brilliant Idiocracy. Yes. I'm a huge Cinetopia fan as well, and I just wanted to warn the general Vancouver, Portland area. If you go to their website and click on the map to find your way there, because it's hidden amongst trashy hotel apartments and such, their map leads you to the middle of a golf course 3 miles away. Strangely.
Really?
Yes, yeah, and I stopped at a gas station near there, and the Asian lady working behind the counter says, hey, you're the first person today who's wondered where Cinetopia was. It's 3 miles away. So just a warning to everybody who wants to click on the map on their website.
See, I got this. I'm lucky in that I got the GPS. I got the GPS thing on my car, so I just, like, type in Cinetopia, and it takes me there, because which is perfect for me, because I'm exactly that kind of guy, though, that would follow the directions, because I'm an idiot, and then I would end up on, like, hole 15 somewhere, like, wondering where the jalapeno popcorn stand.
Yeah, I'm wandering around looking for Pan's Labyrinth at a Chevron. It didn't work at all.
Fantastic. Excellent. Thank you. Good reference, sir. All right,
there
you go.
Sir.
That's Dax. All right, 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. I think that's it. I don't want to. If I tease anything else, it's going to be pointless, because we're probably never going to get to it. Jen Lane will be joining us in the 2 o'clock hour today. Oh, and continuing the long string of Rick Emerson Solves Your Life Difficulties topics, we'll do the Star Wars question, and then we've been waiting so long to do this, and it's like, I don't know, it's probably pointless at this juncture, but I got a follow-up email. It was an email from a different guy about that our friend Seamus' problem of being hounded by people that he used to date or used to go to school with. Because I think that's what MySpace is used for. I think MySpace is the new, what is that site, that classmates.com? I think MySpace is the new classmates.com, where it's just used to stalk people, but stalk people that you're interested in having sex with, who forgot that you existed like 15 years ago. So I know that
MySpace does have a rad feature that if someone's bothering you, you can just block them.
Is that true?
Uh-huh. If you just go to their page and click block the user, then they can't write to you, or I don't even know if they can look at your page. I don't know for sure.
No, I don't think you can stop people from doing that.
Well, unless you set your account to private.
Nah, that's true. Do you ever do that and then you're angry? Do you ever do this where, like, somebody asked to be your MySpace friend and so you click on their account to see who they are?
Them.
Yeah, and it's like, this dude must be set to private. And it's like, well, how do I know? How do I know if I want to add you? What problems we have here in America. I know the rest of the country weeps for us. The difficulties we have in our day-to-day lives. How do I know if
I'll get rude emails from people saying, how come you didn't accept me? I'm like, because your account's such a private, and I see the picture of you, like, on a boat.
Yeah,
I can't tell who you are.
Maybe because you're a dick. It's just a picture of you standing in front of a tree. How do I know if I want to add you? Don't be a jackass. All right, we're breaking now. 503-733-2970. It's the Rick Emerson Radio Program. Lisa Goddard around the corner. Stay tuned. Why, hello. It's the Rick Emerson Radio Program. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Hey, Rick, about road hogs. I don't think it's called that. Well, whatever. Why are we talking so much about a movie that no one in this room is going to see? Rick, how can you possibly not want to see this movie? So far, I've heard this on the radio. These are the taglines they've used so far about this new, is sure to be hideous film with John Travolta and Martin Lawrence. It's not really, and this is the thing, it's not really so much that it's got John Travolta, and it's not really so much that it's got Martin Lawrence. It really is the combination of the two. It is the Martin Lawrence, John Travolta the conflation that obviously makes this a terrible film. Oh, wait, hold on. Let me listen in as Sarah talks to CNN. CNN was having a technical problems this morning, by which they mean their phones weren't working. Yeah, all right.
You can talk about that if you want.
All right. Oh, about the funeral of the 300 people that are going to Anna Nicole Smith's funeral?
That's the media advisory just for you.
All right. Let's talk to Sarah Dillon. So here's just so
okay,
you know.
Okay, so I guess some... Okay, go ahead.
So we were trying to get a hold of CNN before the show, as we always do, and they had technical problems, by which I mean they weren't answering their phones, apparently. So, well, what's the word?
He said that some virus got into all their computers, and it's bad.
Bam!
Yeah.
All right.
So they've been having problems scheduling. Lisa is in an interview right now, but she's going to call after she's out, hopefully before noon.
Do we? Okay, so at some point in the next half hour.
Yeah, but it sounded chaotic. I could hear people in the background and stuff.
All right, and then as far as Rachel?
Rachel is good.
Excellent. All right, fantastic. Well, okay, it gives us more. Well, that's good because we can actually get some of this stuff done in this half hour. Anyway, Rick, so far this is what I have heard tagline-wise on the radio about Roadhogs. Quote, apparently this is tagline number one. It will knock you on your asphalt.
Oh, God.
Fantastic. Apparently, the movie also, and I'm quoting them, these are all ads from the advertisements for this sure-to-be-awful film. Apparently, it stars a comedy dream team, and it's the first great comedy of the year. This is like that time that we had to pay somebody to go see that Britney Spears film. Yeah, let's see here. Speaking of Britney Spears, let me just do a couple of these emails. Then I will read this best story ever. Then we'll have a question for the geeks. So if you are a Star Wars fan, you'll want to be listening up, because we're going to get to this in just a second. Rick, about subject line, Big Britney. Rick, has anybody mentioned that there's a good chance that Britney Spears will eventually leave rehab several sizes larger than when she went in? You know, all they do is eat in those places. My gut feeling tells me that Britney will look like the daughter of King Kong Bundy. King Kong Bundy was a huge, fat, bald, like a Sid Barrett-looking wrestler in the 80s. Britney Spears is going to be big, fat, and bald by the time she leaves. We're living in a wonderful, wonderful world, my friend. It's true. No, if you know anybody who does drugs, first of all, if you're on that stuff, they always just pick up a smoking habit. But if you're getting rid of smoking at the same time, they always just pick up an eating habit.
Oh, she's not getting rid of smoking.
No, and so she's just going to balloon up. And she does not have she doesn't have anything if it can deal well with being fat. She's going to look like Michael Chiklis if she decides to do that. Rick, did I hear that Sarah's looking 60-ish today. Sarah's got crow's feet and a false upper plate. Did I hear that Sarah's looking 60s British today? Can you please get a picture of that and send it to me? Thanks so much. No, but thank you. All right. I'm going to read this, which is the best story ever.
Is it the elevator in the head?
No, it's not. I can read that one first.
Okay, thank you. You've been promising me for weeks.
I'll read the elevator in the head story, And then this, the best story ever. And then we're going to read this Star Wars email. Oh, is this Lisa? All right, well, let's see. I'm not complaining. I'm just saying I've readjusted my thinking. All right, I'll wait. Looking now at the screen.
Whatever makes it easier for you, Rick Emerson.
This makes it easier.
You should get this as your ringer for your phone.
I was going to say that this should trigger every time I walk into my office. Or whenever anybody... How about not this, not when I'm in the office, not when I walk in, but when I'm in the office and anybody walks in through the door. When anybody crosses the threshold...
Well, like a picture of your giant face isn't enough.
No, so this is a great idea. So whenever anybody walks into my office, this... How great is this? Tell me this isn't the best thing you've ever heard.
God.
No, listen to me now. Listen, I know I say this a lot. You tell me this isn't the best thing. I've already got the huge picture of my own face behind me when I'm sitting at my desk upstairs. My office ought to be engineering department. Listen up now. I want my office to be rigged so that anytime someone walks into my office, as soon as they cross the threshold, the regular lights dim and some flashing strobe lights start blinking on my giant face and this starts playing. Come on, you know that's funny. So, like, well, I don't know, who's going to sign this TPS report? I don't know, let's go walk into Rick's office. And then as soon as they walk in, it just goes dark and my face begins blinking in this place. And then it just stops. And I look up and I say, what?
Oh, you don't look up until after the music stops?
No, I wait. I wait for my cue. Scotty, I can't, is this Lisa? I can't see you. There's no notation on the screen about who this is. I could pick it up. It could be some maniac. Well, here's the thing. This line is just on hold, so I'm just going to pick it up and pretend it's Lisa, and if it's not, it's going to be very awkward.
Let's introduce her as such.
Ladies and gentlemen, let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show. Please don't be Steve Kastenbaum. Lisa Goddard from the Hill.
Hello.
Why, hello. Oh. How are you today?
How are you?
How is your day going?
Oh, today is crazy. Today's been nutty.
Apparently everything there is infected with some sort of... You got some sort of computer hantavirus or something?
We do. We have some crazy computer virus. It's not, and it's too bad because it's a bit... I've got three or four stories, and it's just nothing's going out. The news machine has slowed down to a halt.
All right. Well, you know what? I mean, CNN, here's the thing. You can't be stopped. You people adapt. You overcome. You improvise. You're the T-1000 of news breaking. Nothing can hold you down. Oh, no. You got to keep a moving.
Well, so... I don't know where you want to go with this, but I'm kind of bursting at the seams on a story that I'm just working on right now that I don't even know if this is going to go out today at all because our equipment is down.
Okay. Well, you know what? Who am I to stand in the way of your seam bursting?
We can get to it later. We can make that a little teaser for your listeners if you want.
You know what? Here's what Rick Emerson is going to do for you, Lisa Goddard, because you're obviously having a bit of a hectic day.
Yes.
You had a little bit of a kerfuffle over there at the CNN News Gathering department.
Major points, yes.
So what I'm going to do is I'm just going to sort of figuratively speaking, I'm going to step back. I'm going to let you deliver that this is your chance, your moment to shine, to take control, to be at the bridge, the wheel, the nucleus, the nerve center. So I'm going to step back. You deliver the stories you think we need to know about and or are interested in the order you desire.
Well, I just got off the phone on this story, which is why I'm sort of like, oh, I've got to, and I'm worried that I'm not going to get this story out today, and I've got tomorrow off, and I'm worried that it won't get out at all. But do you remember the Chinese missile test back in January, during which China destroyed its own satellite?
Well,
that's what happened. Is China shot a missile into space and destroyed one of its own satellites?
Intentionally.
Intentionally, a test saying we, China, have the ability to shoot a missile and destroy a satellite.
All right.
Because, as you know, the U.S. has many a satellite with its eyes on China.
Sure.
Now, this was a Chinese satellite that they destroyed. But it turns out that from that missile launch and the destruction of that satellite, which was high up in Earth's orbit, that because it was so high in Earth's orbit, the debris from that explosion is something like 2,500 pieces of this satellite. Or, I'm sorry, it's about 1,200 pieces from this satellite, which is sharply increasing the amount of debris in Earth's orbit. And it's traveling around the Earth as a giant field of debris. And I'm told by NASA's chief orbital debris scientist that by the fall, This debris cloud will actually spread out to encircle the Earth like a ball of twine.
Okay.
This is my story because I feel like nobody realizes that our satellites, our space station, all of that stuff could just get hit by.
Well, that was going to be my next question: is what then? You'll forgive the pun, but what then is the impact of the Earth being encircled by a bunch of crap?
Right, other than the fact that Hollywood now has a whole other potential reason to have space movies.
Was this a nuclear-powered satellite?
You know, I don't know.
Because that'd be just an extra layer of fun if there was plutonium circling the Earth now.
It would be indeed. Well, the real issue is mainly for, there's about 10,000 satellites or other objects, I suppose they're mostly all satellites up there, that are man-made and orbiting the Earth. And the potential danger is for about 1,000 of them that are within that same sort of orbital zone as this debris field. And apparently if a 4-inch or so piece of debris hits an object in space, that's it, because the speeds are so high when you're orbiting the Earth for a number of reasons.
So really the Chinese have just screwed us. The Chinese have just effed all of us. They have completely, by just wanting to demonstrate by this missile capability, they have completely given the shaft to the rest of us, anybody who wants to go in space and do anything.
So you just got to avoid, and the space station itself is actually within the same sort of area of orbit, but as this NASA scientist pointed out, the space station does have the ability to maneuver a little bit, so they can see this debris coming, at least the larger chunks, the 4 inches or larger. If it's smaller than that, and actually there's 35,000 pieces that are smaller than 4 inches, then the space station might not see it coming.
Well, here's a dumb question. I mean, I was actually just thinking now, can you just send some guy out there sort of like George Michael working off his community service? Can you just send a guy out there with like a bag to sort of pick? But I guess you can't, because I guess by definition, if one of those pieces of debris hits you while you're trying to pick it up, you're going to have a big hole in your thorax. There's no way to pick any of this up, is there?
No, eventually it will spin out, either burn through on its way back into Earth or spin out into space. But because of the area, this is what NASA says that this satellite was, high up in the altitude in the orbit. Some of this stuff will still be around after 100 years.
Okay, so when they say eventually, that's eventually in NASA space terms, which means long after I am dead, this might cease to maybe be so difficult of a problem.
I thank you for letting me take the time, because that little quirky story doesn't really, it's not going to really change anyone's day tomorrow.
No, the Rick Emerson Show is a conduit to the people, and let me tell you, if you have something that is in any way scientific or geeky, this is the audience you want to be talking to. It really is.
Fantastic.
All right, we'll just throw a bunch of other things against the wall here and see what's out there. I thought that John McCain announced he was running for president like a year ago.
He announced that he was forming an exploratory committee. This gets back to that same thing, Rick. It's all, you can't just do something. You've got to say you're going to do it, and then you say you're going to do it really soon, and then you're going to do it tomorrow, and then you do it.
I'm going to start putting out a press release every single day announcing that I'm going to be on the air the next. I'm going to call every news organization, demand that they cover it. And then I'm going to go, take a small walk and have a light lunch, and then come back and do some work, and then go home and have some tea.
Well, if you really want to be good, you've got to say that you're considering being on the air tomorrow.
I'm forming a committee.
Exactly.
I'm forming a committee to examine all of my options and discover a new way forward for the Rick Emerson program.
You know, they've actually changed. It should be on your radar. They've now moved from way forward to path forward. I don't know what this means, but in the last week, it's definitely been path forward.
Path forward does, well, path forward sounds a little more concrete, sounds a little more finite.
Yeah, a little bit more four-wheel drive.
Well, you know, it's funny. Tim and I were talking. Tim Riley, news director here at the Rick Emerson Show,
that's why I bring this up,
He finally got a fundraising letter in the mail the other day from the Barack Obama people. For the Barack Obama in 08 committee, and I'm reading through this, and it's the verbiage in this letter. It really is exceptionally sparkling. I mean, and Tim and I were talking about, I mean, I'm just so cynical, I guess, that I don't believe that any candidate ever, I just take it as an article of faith that no candidate ever actually writes anything that's associated with their name. So we were wondering whether it was like Paul Begala, or whether they just cut out the middleman and just paid Aaron Sorkin to come in and start writing all of their stuff. So, path forward.
It was sparkling in a good way. It wasn't over the top.
No, it's great. I mean, I was also making this observation that in the wake of, what was it, our friend Joe Biden, who said that Barack smelled good or whatever it is he said. He writes well, and he's clean, or whatever the hell it is that Joe Biden said about him. It's so hard to compliment Barack Obama now without running it through like 9 filters in your head. But the prose is really dazzling. It's really great. It's done in, and it's done exactly the way you got to do it. This is really political, like, wankiness right here that we've been talking about this. But it's done with the way that you got to do it in politics now, where it's numerous small, short paragraphs. Paragraphs of 1 or 2 sentences at the most. There is no paragraph here that is more than 2 sentences long.
Oh, okay.
And that's how you got to do it. Lots of big white space on the paper. Lots of small bullet point type paragraphs. That's what Americans read. That's what they respond to. So, and I got to, it's just, before we even get to the McCain thing, just in your assessment, just your journalistic assessment here, it does seem to me lately that the GOP, by their actions, is sort of indicating that they're a lot more afraid of running against Barack than they are running against Hillary. And the reason I say that is because every time I see any of the sort of perceived right-wing news organizations like Fox or whoever, what have you, it seems like they're always taking shots at Obama right now, and they're just leaving Hillary alone. Is the general consensus that they're more afraid of running against him than her?
I think they don't know right now. I think that both options have their drawbacks, and they definitely have they're forming attack plans against both of them. I think they don't know. I think right now it does feel like Obama could be more dangerous to them, but I think that what Hillary has, she has that whole Bill Clinton sheen that, you know, he came from nowhere to win that presidency, and they are very smart. And so I think Republicans, they know that her numbers are not going to stay necessarily where they were. They know that Obama's creeping up against her very quickly. But I think they're taking them both seriously. But I think right now it's Obama's time, and that's why you hear them going after him a little bit more.
And then about McCain. So McCain was on, it was Letterman, right, of all places?
Yes.
that he announced. And so he did this great thing where last year he formed an exploratory committee. And then last night on Letterman, if I'm reading this correctly, last night on Letterman, he said that he's going to be announcing in April that he'll be running for president.
See, that's what I'm talking about, exactly.
With maximizing the news cycle, I suppose. It just seems like McCain, he's gone all crazy in the last 6 months. And by crazy, I don't mean that in the sense that I agree with him or don't disagree with him, but it seems like that everybody sort of respected him because he carved out positions and he stuck to them. But it seems like recently he ended up a lot more in the pocket of the Bush administration, and it seemed to sacrifice a lot of his sort of independent cachet that he once possessed.
Well, it goes back to 2004 when he climbed right on board the Bush campaign truck, and a lot of people were surprised because in 2000 they had such an ugly battle. You know, it's hard to say what's going on behind the scenes, but I do think that McCain, I was there in 2000 in South Carolina when McCain lost, and that was really what ended his campaign, and that was an ugly, ugly campaign. The Bush campaign, or someone anyway, put out nasty, untrue phone calls about him the 2 days before. It was really a lot of dirty tricks in that campaign against McCain, and he was bitter, understandably, after it. But it feels like in the last few years he's decided that Bush was right to get the conservative vote, and that to become president, you've got to have the conservative base. He seems to have really bought full into that, whereas in 2000, he was running more on, it seemed, his own ideas, though he also did make some admitted compromises on some issues. But you're right. I think that he is really running to the right, and I think the polls don't reflect that that's helping him.
No.
The latest poll shows that Giuliani is way ahead of him all of a sudden among Republicans. Who knows what those polls really mean in the long run, but I think a lot of people like you are looking at him differently, and I think saying that he would like to overturn Roe v. Wade was a major statement. And, you know, maybe he believes that, but he's never said that before. We know he's always been pro-life to some degree, but that's a very strong statement,
and it's
not an accident that it's coming now.
And McCain seems very, I mean, and I don't really know, but it seems very likely that he's one of those guys that is just going to melt down at some point, either on television or when he's being interviewed by the New York Times or whoever.
Great. That's when he's at his best, is when he just sort of fires away.
Oh, no, I think it's fantastic. Don't get me wrong, but I'm just saying he's one of those guys that Keith Olbermann was being interviewed the other day, and they asked Keith Olbermann they listed a bunch of other television anchors, and they said, you know, give me your one-sentence description, your thoughts on other television anchors. And somebody asked Keith Olbermann about Glenn Beck, and this is Keith Olbermann's assessment, not mine, but Keith Olbermann said of Glenn Beck, he said, you know, he's crazy, and he's a bigot, and he's whatever, and He said, something in my gut tells me that that man will say something one night that costs him his career in television. And I think that's true about McCain. I think McCain seems crazy, and I don't mean like he's literally crazy, but he just seems very rough around the edges, and he has a short temper. And he's
a Navy fighter pilot. I mean, that's very different from roles other people play in the military. That's a very specific role. Navy fighter pilots have a certain skill set, certain personalities that others don't have.
I think reporters sense that, though, and I think somebody's going to push him hard enough in an interview, and he's going to spit out some statement that he probably believes, but that he didn't filter too carefully. And it might not even be something horrible. It might just be a very extreme opinion that he doesn't nuance correctly enough, and that's going to be it. That's going to be the ballgame. And the same thing will happen to Giuliani eventually, I think.
Well, we'll see. It definitely is a long game, and some people like where he is right now. Some people think that Obama and Giuliani are peaking now. Who knows? I think that anything could happen, especially with those well-worded letters from Barack Obama.
They really are dazzling. And I, Rick Emerson, am a fan of silver-tongued oration. I mean, I am the people who can really make words sparkle are not to be taken lightly, in my estimation. So this
I'll say this: don't count McCain out yet. I think that he knows he has a temper. It's possible he could spout off something. I don't know. I don't think so.
He seems sort of like a loving but kind of grumpy and always angry grandfather. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, you know what's funny? He's one of the few guys in the Senate, because we see these guys every day. We talk to them most every day. And I'd say him, Arlen Specter, come right to mind as two who seem more genuine than the rest of them. If they're in a bad mood, they're going to just be in a bad mood. If they, you know, if they feel like joking around, they'll joke around. He is a more cheerful fellow than most of the other senators.
I know that you got a billion things going on over there, because the whole place is just sort of in flames at CNN. So I'm just going to leave you with this one thought here before we wrap it up. That according to the CNN website, I don't know if you have much chance to have speaks with Steve Kastenbaum.
CNN.com. Steve Kastenbaum just sent me an instant message.
Really?
Yes.
Did he use a winky emoticon?
No, I didn't know that.
All right, I'm just checking. No, I'm just wondering if his instant messengers come with little smiley faces.
No, nothing like that. He's talking about all the issues. It's lots of exclamation points about the problems he's having as well.
You should mention to him that you are impressed, and I'm quoting now. You should mention that you are impressed that he is, quote, a regular on New York's swing dancing scene and is often spotted around New York dancing the Lindy Hop.
No.
End quote. That's a quote, by the way, from your own website.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Just a little thing you didn't know.
He, by the way, apparently getting married a couple weeks before I am.
Really? That's going to, you should...
Oh, so you set the date?
Yes, we do have a date.
Oh, I see. I thought it was sort of an open-ended thing. That was the sense that we had here.
Okay.
Well, you sorted out the name issues
Can we ask how far away is it?
Sure. September 22nd.
And where are you registered so we can buy you?
Oh, jeez. We haven't gotten any of that kind of luck.
Okay. Well, just so you can tell Steve, by the way, that is going to disappoint many of the female listeners to the program who took a shine to his vocal stylings on the program the last couple of days.
Well, he's not married yet, is he?
Lisa.
I like the way you think.
Exactly. Thank you, darling.
All right. Enjoy the rest of your day. We'll talk to you soon, Lisa.
Okay.
And there you go. CNN radio correspondent Lisa Goddard right
there. Oh, that must hurt a little. She set the date.
I'm fine. It's okay.
Yeah, that's why you flipped me off when I asked her.
You're not supposed to say that on the air.
Oh, was that an unfair comment?
Yes, because I didn't say anything. That's how you can tell. See, that's why some things are spoken and some things aren't. Yeah, Sarah. Oh, did you set the date? And that's, I shot Sarah the finger. That's why I didn't. That's why I didn't say thanks, Sarah, or F you or something. That's why I. Well, thanks for sharing that with everybody. Appreciate that. Thank you.
No problem.
Yeah. Thanks. All right.
I wonder what we should get her for her wedding.
I don't know. You'll know that I was polite. I asked if she was registered somewhere. All right. Well, anyway. How long do we have? What time is it? 53.
54.
I don't have time to read this best story ever with the donkey. I'll read it later. I was getting all right. I was fixing to read it, as they say in the South.
Why don't you read the elevator head one?
I'll read the elevator. What?
The one with the person who loses their head in the elevator.
I like the other way better. Let me read that elevator head story.
Oh, God.
Hello. Let's see. We have this. This is from. Where the hell is this from? This is one of those websites that doesn't tell you where to. News 24. Not in that. part-time job at a store in Cape Town ended in a horrible death for a Hanover Park teenager when he stuck his head out of a half-open elevator lift door to see why it was not working. The elevator suddenly started moving and completely removed his head. Terrence Stadler, 19, had been working at the ShopRite in the Kenilworth Shopping Center for only 3 days when the freak accident happened. A woman in the elevator with him said, "I came out completely covered in blood." Co-worker said, "He was never rude and seemed like a bright young man." There you go. Feel better now?
This member of an insurance is only 6 cents every 2 weeks.
We should ask CBS if anybody's ever been dismembered while working here. You know, wouldn't you be curious to know if anybody working in radio has ever had to use that?
I would, yes.
I'm kind of curious about that now. I wonder.
Maybe like engineers have to climb up on the towers and whatnot.
No, but you know what? That'll do.
They're all crazy.
That'll. You know why? Because it irradiates your insides. You know, if you climb a radio tower, it cooks you from the inside out.
Like a microwave oven.
Exactly like a microwave oven.
So if you put some microwave popcorn, stay in your shirt sleeve.
It'll be ready to eat when they find your body.
That's what I
was thinking. Searchers won't go hungry. Hello, it's the Rick Emerson Radio Program. We're back after this.